All right, Roberto Luongo is going to call in here in just a moment. We haven't caught up with Roberto in a while, although you would have seen him prior to the whole self-isolation border shutdown about a month ago, Noodles.
Yeah, I mean, hung out, and there was a little post-game or post, post-game, because they played that night against the Habs.
Right, they won that game.
They did, and, you know, so it was a pretty good game. Sat in the luxury box with, Roberto and some of his friends, Bieksa and Alex Burrows. There were some pretty big names from the league there.
Yeah, I got a chance to watch it because I was on the other side of the state, but I had access to that Panther game and the pregame, and I threw it on, and it was high-quality stuff.
Gary Bettman was there.
I saw Gary. I saw yourself out there. I think it was Kevin Weeks in attendance,
Weeksy was there. And, yeah. Rob Tallis, the goaltender coach, spoke. There was a lot of people that showed up and had a good time.
Yep. Well, the first number retirement in team history down in Florida, and that was about a month ago. Again, feels like it was over a year ago. But here he is, one of our favorites, longtime NHLer, Roberto Luongo, back on Overdrive. How you doing, Roberto?
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Oh, we're just talking about
living
that
dream.
That speech you gave about a month ago, the jersey retirement. Were you nervous? Have you recovered from that, or what?
Yeah, I mean, I was. You know, that's always a nerve-wracking thing, a speech like that. And throughout my whole life, I was never great at speeches, so I was trying not to memorize one. Just put a few notes together on a piece of paper, names and people I didn't want to forget, and then, you know, just let it roll off the tongue after that. So I think it came out okay. I guess I did a decent job. Didn't forget anybody, which was the most important thing for me.
Yeah, it was cool. I thought the organization did a great job, and the part of the whole video that I think went viral was when your jersey was going up. And your kids were just like wailing away. Your boy was crying, man. He was so emotional. And you were trying to keep it together, I could tell. But what was that experience like, just being there with your kids, your wife, and seeing the number go up?
Well, it was funny because I saw, everybody was saying, oh, he's so emotional seeing, the family name go up. Like, his dad's name's going up. It's like, no, he's crying because he wants me to keep playing. He's not because he's seeing the name. He's crying because he wants his dad to keep playing. He's been crying for a year. So it was tough. You know, it's tough for me to see things like that, you know, because they love coming to the games, and watch me play. And, you know, they got to that age now where they understand it, right? And he's really starting to get into hockey, and he loves it. So it was cool for him to, you know, be part of a NHL team. So it was tough for me to see that, you know, when I told them originally that I was in step away from the game, that they both took it really hard and started crying, which made me cry. Obviously, it was not, you want to keep it going because they could see in their eyes that they loved it, right? And it was tough for me to tell them that.
What was the big gift? Usually the organization gives the player a gift for retirement, 1,000 games, whatever it is. What did the Panthers throw at you?
They gave me a big-ass blackjack table with, am I allowed to say that word on radio? I'm sorry, I don't know.
Yeah, you're good.
I say it all the time, buddy.
Yeah.
So it was cool. It was, custom. It had, the Panthers logo, names, and all that kind of stuff on it. So it was pretty neat. So it's pretty big. I mean, I got to find a nice spot for it in my game room.
Lou, what was the biggest transition, obviously stepping away and retiring? What did you find the most shocking, other than just, not going to the rink on a schedule? What has been your biggest transition into retirement?
Well, this is the thing, right? When I first announced my retirement, the first 2 or 3 months, I didn't have anything going on at all. So it's starting to get a little bit tough for me to know what to do with myself. I was getting up in the morning and I was just like, all right, so what am I doing now? Like, I would just turn out the window for like 3 hours and be like, I don't know what to do with myself. And I was starting to get a little bit down, and starting to feel like, wow, this is not great. And then once August, September rolled around, the team called me and said if they wanted to come by and training camp and hang around and watch and this and that. And that's how it kind of started getting a little routine going, and I started feeling a bit more comfortable and being around the guys and the team, and that's how everything came about. So it was once that point reached, I was fine. I was, felt like I was still, part of the group. Obviously, I wasn't playing, but I think just the fact that I was still involved, it really kept my mind where it needed to be.
with Roberto Luongo. Noodles has spoken about his experience doing the same thing, leaving the game and then all of a sudden kind of hanging around with coaches or hanging around management. And Noodles,
how brutally honest they are.
How brutally honest they are. And how, like, behind the scenes, did you have that same experience where all of a sudden you're like, wow, this is how they talk about us when we're not around?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the funny part, right? I mean, I knew that that kind of stuff kind of went on, you know, when I was playing. Obviously, when you're behind the scenes and you're in it, you know, you realize, you know, how it is. And that's the first thing I said. I told Tally, our goalie coach, I was like, wow, I can only imagine what they were, you know, what they would say about me, especially, you know, when I would go through some stretches where I wasn't playing well. You know, I could only imagine what they would say about me. So it makes your mind think a little bit like, wow, this is pretty bad. But, you know, I keep myself PG-13. I always, you know, just try to stay even keel.
With Roberto Luongo, I'm looking at your stat sheet, and Noodles has expressed this many times in the past. You had a run where you basically didn't allow your backup to play, or your coach didn't. And there's a four-year run from 03-04 through 07-08 with a lockout mixed in between where you started or you played in 72, 75, 76, 73. Like that. 70-plus, 4 years in a row.
Yeah.
I got to believe, like, you might have been the last of a dying breed. Like, I don't think we're ever going to see that again in the NHL.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I mean, the game's changed a lot since then, even though it's only, like, a little over 10 years ago, 10, 15 years ago. I mean, I think the game itself, it's faster, it's harder, it's more demanding, especially for goaltenders to play the position now. And with the travel and the schedule, I don't think it's possible to do that. I mean, it just takes too much of a toll on your body. So, I mean, I don't know how the young guys, maybe they feel a bit, you know, more energetic throughout the year, but I know that for myself, the last, you know, 5 or 6 years of my career, I started finding it very difficult to play that many games. And the especially the second night of back-to-back, it was always a welcome night off for me.
Lou, you had a long career, very successful. You know, people know your personality now on Twitter, you know, how much fun you have and kind of your sense of humor and stuff. When you look back at your career, you know, some of the things, some of the ups and downs and everything you went through, are there a couple, you know, real, I guess, quality memories that you think back and either, you know, proud or you laugh about? I saw you on Twitter the other day where you talked about in a playoff game having to leave and then come back in, and, you know, that type of, is that what stands out for you? Not just, you know, game 60 on a Tuesday night in Carolina. Like, what are the types of memories that come to the forefront?
Like, what do you mean? Like going to the bathroom and stuff? Or
yeah, I mean, please give us more on that.
That was a regular occurrence, so I mean, that doesn't really stand out. But yeah, I mean, listen, I've played a long time. I mean, there's a ton of stories that you know that have happened throughout my career that are funny, that are sad. There's all kinds of different things that happen. Of course, I mean, some of the best memories obviously involve, you know, the playoffs and the Olympics and that kind of stuff. But you know, I think that the ones that I love the most are just, you know, stories that maybe other people don't see, right? Behind the scenes in a locker room or you know, on the road, on the plane, or, you know, stuff like that. That those are the things that I miss the most, you know, hanging around the guys and going on a road trip and you know, just funny things happening, you know, behind the scenes. I think that those are the things that I miss the most about the game. And obviously all the other stuff, you know, everybody's pretty much aware of.
With Roberto Luongo, you could not have played the majority of your career in more of extreme cities and circumstances. You're either in the, you know, furthest northwest you can go in Canada in a hotbed, on the west coast, you know, Vancouver, very good team, cup finals, maybe the most relevant team in Canada because of how well they were playing, winning the President's Trophy, going to a cup final. And then you can't go further southeast than the Panthers, you know, the opposite of a hockey hotbed. How, when you look back on your career, are you going to appreciate that you got to play in two extremes in the National Hockey League?
Yeah, I was actually just going to say that I appreciate both. For, you know, they've been different things, but I enjoyed my time with both teams. I think, you know, obviously playing in Vancouver, the pressure is high every night, but
you know, you have to embrace that stuff. It's part of you know, being an athlete and being under a microscope. And when things were going great, I mean, it was unbelievable to be in the city. And obviously, when things were not so great, it was a bit tougher. But you know, I think for me especially, I grew from those types of moments where, you know, maybe things weren't going so well, or you know, I failed it a little bit, and I was able to you know, just be stronger, get back up, and get back at it, and develop as a human being by going through those things. So I think that was a huge part of not only my career but my life as well, as who I became as a person. And down here as well, Florida. I mean, listen, obviously the team hasn't had the same success that I had when I was in Vancouver, but you know, it's home for me, and I love playing here, and I was happy that I was able to at least get the team to 1 year in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and it was a good series against the Islanders, even though we lost. But you know, I played some good hockey, and unfortunately, you know, we ended up losing in six games. But I would have wished it was a little bit more success, especially, you know, in the last few years. I thought we were close to being there, but we just missed out.
Lou, what's your take on the big market? I know you had the opportunity. You just mentioned playing in Van and how things weren't that great when the team wasn't playing well. Are you glad you had that experience of playing in a big market? I played a long time in Carolina, got the opportunity to play in Toronto. It's kind of a big debate sometimes, like, why would anybody want to go there and spend the last few years of their career with the media pressure and all the media around? Are you glad you experienced that in your career?
Of course, definitely. And that's what I was, you know, kind of trying to say is, like, even though, you know, sometimes when things are not going well, which happens to every player, every team, you know, they go through stretches where you're not playing your best hockey. It's just normal for everybody. You know, it's a bit harder to move around the city and be in public. But when things are going good, there's nothing better than that. You know,
yeah, just
being on top of the world, you know, and everybody just, like, looks at you in a different way. So, you know, the positive definitely outweigh the negative for me in that regard.
With Roberto Luongo, we've had this discussion on the show over the past month with everything shut down and the uncertainty of when it's going to come back. But let's just use an arbitrary date. Let's say July 1, the league starts back up, and game one of the playoffs. Do you think the goalie would be at an advantage or a disadvantage with such a long layoff?
It's tough to say. I think it all depends on what the player's doing, right, over this layoff. You know, so I know some guys are still training hard and working out hard, and I'm sure some guys are probably taking it a little bit more easier. So to me, it's whoever is training the hardest and trying to stay in shape and then as close as game shape as you can be. You know, obviously it's hard to find. I don't know if some guys are going on the ice or not, but whoever's, you know, giving it the most of their own as far as working out and trying to stay game ready is who's going to be on top. So I know that our trainer is in contact with a lot of the guys throughout this process, making sure that everybody's still working out and staying in shape, and because we don't know when, you know, we're going to start over. So when we do, we want to be ready.
Are you staying in shape? You don't want to be one of those former players that looks like a beekeeper.
Well,
what does that look like?
Yeah, thank God I got my Peloton last year, because you know, I've been riding that like, especially since we started quarantining, I've been riding it like five to six times a week, which is key, because I don't like to lift weights and all that kind of stuff. I'm not a big fan of that stuff. So at least I get to enjoy 45 minutes of punishment on the bike instead.
Yeah, it's important to stay active. You got to keep active. We know it.
Well, that's what happened the first 2-3 months of retirement. I wasn't even doing that. I was just like laying, you know, on the floor at night with a stack of Oreos on my chest watching TV. And by the time July rolled around, I gained 20 pounds. And I was like, oh, so something's got to happen here, or else it's going to get bad.
Yeah, that's like a Niagara Falls cliff waiting for you, man. If you start going down that path, it's tough to drag it back.
Exactly.
Well, we always appreciate you finding time for us. Stay safe and healthy down there, and we'll do this again down the road. Thank you, Roberto.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Stay safe.
There he is, Roberto Luongo, keeping active, staying active.
Stay active.
Yeah.
Who said that? Was that O that said it?
No, I said it originally. I said it to Kadri, remember?
No, I know, but just now you said, was it you or?
No, I said that. Yeah, I said it. And it blew, like, went right over his head. Why would he know that reference? It's such an inside baseball reference. But that was cool, man. I'm looking back at his numbers. Like, they were great. He's a Hall of Famer. But
right.
He had that 4-year run again of, of 72 plus appearances. And yeah. 1 year in 03-04 with Florida, he played in 72 games. He had a 931 save percentage.
Yeah, he owned
931.
He owned me. I don't know, Grappler. I don't know if you can find out how many goals I scored against him, but he was one of the first on the scene of the big, tall goaltenders with the big pads, and it was just, I found it like, I was shooting against goalies like Craig Billington and Chris Terreri, and then all of a sudden this guy shows up and his pads look massive and he looked giant in there, and you just coming down, you're like, that's intimidating. There's nowhere to shoot.
Yeah, well, clearly you weren't alone. I mean, yeah, there were many pucks getting past him.
No, he's an all-time great, if you ask me. I think he was fantastic.
Yeah, and his stats are, you know, like top 10. He played forever. Yeah. He was consistent. He was healthy up until the end of his career. He had a great, great run. Represented the country, World Juniors, top five pick. His resume is off the charts. So we appreciate Luongo joining us.